we've actually, y'all, what you don't know is that we've asked Sister Rosa to come sing for about 2 years now. So we finally got her to come, and we so much appreciate you sharing that with us. I'm going to ask her husband. I told him that I was going to ask him to bring a greeting this morning, but I told him that his wife is going to get top billing, and he said that's fine. He's used to that, but I'm going to... I want to invite Mayor Fields to come. He is with us today and as our special guest and a very good friend. And Mayor Fields, why don't you come and bring a greeting to our folks this morning? Oh, he can sing too now. Don't let him get by.
Thank you very much. I'm not doing a greeting. I'm not doing a welcome. I'm here to worship with you. If you notice, Rosa, when she started talking, she said Clarence, and then she changed it to Mayor. Lane Fletcher and I go back many, many years, and God, it was so nice to hear the name Ray. He called me like we used to, Ray, and I really appreciate that. I'm a normal guy, and I like to be called Clarence, Ray, and all of the above. So she started out with Clarence, and I appreciate that. Feel free to, call me Clarence, Ray, or whatever. My good friend Marshall back there, we have some good times together. But no, just the opportunity to be here, it's kind of special. And like I said, Nathan, I'm not doing a greeting or a welcome or whatever. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. Now, I'm pretty upfront, and I've been like this with Brother Buddy. And believe me, they've been a blessing to me because, the special prayers, and not special prayers coming from here. We're talking special prayers, whether it's at the office or some of the places that we meet or whatever, the hugs and all that. It's so important to me, so important to Rosa. So, I appreciate that very much. We're normal people that love to worship with other people. A lot of times, and I'm very upfront in telling people, odds are, during someone's campaign season, you're not going to see me. I don't care to come to your church and during that time. I want to come and worship with you. And we do that in many churches, and we do our schedule where we can hopefully attend churches and be able to just worship with people and has nothing to do with politics. It's about praising God, and that's what it's all about. And I have a very special and some very special people. I know when Nathan invited me a few weeks back or whatever, and actually, that was the only thing that I remembered on my schedule because I lost my entire schedule a couple weeks ago. And to this moment, I don't know what it is. So we're kind of sitting around. We let people show up as they will based on what was on my schedule originally. He can tell you that. But no, Nathan invited me, and but it was during a time, and folks, you just don't know how important it is to me in the arena that I'm in, and I call it, to be able to sit down with Nathan, and forgive me, and we talk about business first, and then we talk about the real things, talk about the Lord, and have prayer. Nathan, we've had prayer. He's had prayer with me many a times, and that's important to me, and as well as it would be important to any of you. So that's what I cherish, being able to share with people, and in all the realms of life. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here and worship. When I drove up and walked in the building just... this smell in the building, and it was pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious whose smell it was, because I smell it all the time, the Marshall back there. So, we're looking forward to that. But just the opportunity to be able to sit down and worship with friends, a lot of people we may not have known before or whatever, but, say hello and praise the Lord together.
Amen. It's been a great honor to work with Clarence. And to be his friend. I know we're going to be blessed this morning. Brother Buddy has already told me some of the things he wants to share with us, and I want you to bless him as he comes up. Would you say with me, God bless Brother Buddy?
Good morning. I do want to share some laughs with you today. If I was going to tell you a little history of Christian Challenge, I'd want to tell you the highlights of tremendous faith ventures that we had. But I think it's important also to laugh. So go with me, if you would, please. We're going to look at a man whose name is He Laughed, which is in Genesis 21. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. I want to read this, tell you where I'm going to go, then we'll have a word of prayer. And by the way, it's okay to laugh. Amen. Come on. If you're happy in your heart, let your face know it. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who had born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Isn't that a wonderful story? How many of you folks remember what you were doing 28 years ago? How old were you 28 years ago? 28 years ago. Well, I was 35, and my wife was 32, and I was 35, my wife Betty was 32. My wife was 15. Nathan was 10. Andre was 7, and Shanna was 2. And I had received a call to the ministry 11 years before that time, when I was 24. And so the ministry is the only thing my children have ever known. They've been raised in a minister's home. Betty's father was a minister. He was a preacher. And I'll tell you something funny to begin with, then we'll have a word of prayer. But my wife, Betty, had her mind made up that she didn't want to marry a preacher. She had lived in a preacher's home all of her life. Both her brothers became ministers. So she didn't want to marry a preacher, so she met me. And I had just got out of the Navy. And she thought that was perfect. Perfect. And we got married, and God called me to be a preacher. So I need to ask you a question. Does God have a sense of humor? He has a sense of humor, doesn't he? What I want to do is talk a little bit about this issue of Isaac, and then there's more to the story of Isaac than most people realize. It really is about laughter. God wants to teach you how to laugh. It's very important in the faith walk to learn how to laugh. So my subject today is, it's okay to laugh. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we give honor to your name and thank you for the honor and privilege of gathering together in our places of gathering today, Lord. We know that you bless the church and all of the earth. We thank you for the great community of faith and all the many branches. We're grateful, Lord. We love you. We serve you. We want to honor you in all that we do. Help me, Father, to minister today in such a way that it is beneficial and that we can laugh at things, Lord. I give honor to you now, Father, again, in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Now, I usually tell you where I'm going to go, so let me do that once again. If you want to take notes, you can. You may not have time to take notes. But number one, we're going to talk about the story of laughter. The story of laughter. And number two, I want to talk to you about smiling. Smiling at the future. And then thirdly, just briefly, I want to talk to you about laughing at what God laughs at. So this is the track we're going to follow. We're going to talk about the story of laughter, smiling at the future, and laugh at what God laughs at. Now, Isaac, I won't get into all the Hebrew terminology here. A lot of times I do that. But Isaac's name actually means he laughs. That's what his name means. And God gave that name to Isaac when he first gave the promise to Abraham. When God changed Abraham's name, there was a point in time when God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. And he, at the same time, he changed Sarai's name from Sarai to Sarah, or Sarah. And that's the breath letter. In Hebrew, that's the breath letter. The breath letter was put into their name. But when God did that, when he changed them, changed their name, he said, "Sarah, your wife will bear a son, and you shall call his name, he laughs, or you shall call his name Isaac." And then God spoke of an everlasting covenant. And that covenant, of course, is going to have its fulfillment in Christ Jesus. That is, Isaac was going to represent Christ as a typology, and he was also going to represent the people of the new covenant. They would be a joyful people. They would be a people who could laugh. If you remember when Abraham took Isaac on the mountain to sacrifice him, we have one of the most beautiful portrayals of the work of the cross in all the Bible was when the father was going to sacrifice the son. Well, we are the children of the sacrifice. I mentioned that to you in the bulletin. Now, Paul said this, "And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." So why did God call his name Isaac? There's a reason for everything that God does. The reason is that laughter and rejoicing are the testimonies of faith. I don't know whether you knew that or not. Laughter, joy, rejoicing, praising, worshiping, boasting on God, these are faith factors. They belong to the language of faith. They're very much a part of faith. In Job chapter 8, verse number 21, the man says, "He that is God will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting." And so what's going to happen? God's going to teach you how to laugh. You have enough sorrow in life already. How many folks ever had any sorrow? You ever had any trial? You ever had any the wind knocked out of your sail? Well, God knows you're going to have a lot of that in life. But He also wants to teach you how to laugh. Now, this is a story that happened a long time ago. We first started Christian Child in 1976. We were in Boise for 2.5 years. And during the early part of our ministry, I was also pastoring a little country church. And I had a friend who decided he's going to do a tent revival off in a community down from us. And we were going to go be in the tent revival with him. All day long, though, I was fussing with myself because I had in my pocketbook, I had a $100 bill and I had a $1 bill. Now, I kept thinking throughout the day, if I can just get to the store before we go to the meeting, I'll break the $100 bill down and I'll give him $20. But $20 in 1976, pretty good amount of money for me. So I'll give him $20 as a big offering. Well, all during that day, it kept slipping my mind. So here we are, we make it to the tent revival, and we're sitting there in the tent revival, and Betty's sitting over behind me with a couple of her girlfriends, and I'm sitting there with guys that I know. And I'm squirming. Betty's watching me squirm. She knows I'm battling this thing about the $100 bill and the $1 bill. So the guy at the end of the service comes by, and they're passing the offering plate, and the offering plate comes in front of me, and I reach my billfold, and I pull out the $1 bill and put it in the offering plate. He walks away just a little bit. And I can't stand it any longer. I said, "Come on back." He came back and I took the $100 bill and I put it in the offering plate. So we started home that evening, and I honestly believe the Holy Spirit laughed in my heart. Because I heard Him say, if you had gave the $100 bill, you'd have had the $1 bill right now. But as it is, you don't have anything. You had to give everything. And so I laughed. He taught me how to laugh, and I laughed with Him. See, it's God teaches you to laugh. You know, so many of God's people get a long face about everything. Just when they walk in the door of the church sometimes, they lose their smile. You ought to be smiling. You ought to be rejoicing. God wants to teach you how to laugh. Now, go to Psalms 89. I'm not going to give you a lot of Scripture, but I do want to give you a little bit. Go to Psalms 89. I want you to see a couple of Scriptures in Psalms. Psalms 89. So if I would have given the $100, I would have had a dollar. What a lesson. Folks, don't be stingy with your money. Amen or oh me? Amen. You're supposed to laugh at that. Okay. Psalm 89, verse number 14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound." Can I read that one more time? "How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound." The joyful sound is a sound of laughter. It's a sound of rejoicing. It's a sound of praise. And how blessed are the people who know that, who experience that, and who are involved in that. Oh Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. That means they take on the appearance of God. That is, in the sense that God is not afraid of anything. And everything's under control. He never falls off His throne. He's always in control of everything. And He even laughs. The Bible says that God laughs. So here it tells us that if we who know the joyful sound, we walk in the light of His countenance. Look at verse 16. "In your name they rejoice some of the day. No, they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. So here, and then if you go to Psalms 118, and again, I don't have that many scriptures, but I want you to just get the relevance of this from the scriptures. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Psalms 118, verse number 15, verse 14 and 15. The Lord is my strength and song. He hath become my salvation. Look at verse 15. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Now, many times when people think about Jesus, they think only of a man of sorrows. The Bible says he was acquainted with grief, but it didn't say he lived in grief all the time. He was joyful. Little children were attracted to Jesus. He laughed, he smiled, he touched them, he played with them. You know, it's only been lately that you begin to see pictures of Jesus smiling and laughing. Most of the pictures you see of him over the years are of kind of a solemn, forlorn-looking person. Do you know Jesus literally danced? He rejoiced, he danced, he laughed. A lot of people don't realize that he actually danced. I'll give you the scripture for that if you go with me to Luke chapter number 10. And there's a term, an expression that's being used in the Greek language that means to dance, to leap, to twirl with overcoming joy. Luke chapter number 10. Verse number 19. Do you have it? Verse 19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." At that very time, he rejoiced greatly. You see that term, rejoice greatly? The Hebrew term means he literally leaped for joy. He danced for joy. It means to spin around. So he rejoiced greatly. Look at what he's rejoicing over. He said, and said, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight." What I want you to see is that Jesus was a man of laughter, Savior. He could dance, he could worship, he could praise the Lord. He was full of life. But what was his joy all about? Because Jesus knew the future. The Bible says that he was able to do what he did because of the joy that was set before him. Do you remember it said he endured the cross, despising the shame, but he did what he did because of the joy. Well, what was the joy that was set before him? It was you. It was all the hundreds and thousands of men and women and children that would be saved through the atonement of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And when he saw that, the curtain was pulled back for Christ, I believe, and he saw all that God the Father was going to give to him. And that was his joy. And he said, "Father, I praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, but you've revealed them to babies." And so, this is important for us to understand the issue of joy and laughter. God teaches us to laugh. And I'm going to make a point real quick. Don't take yourself too serious, folks. I don't take you serious. God don't take you serious. He wants you to learn to laugh even at your mess up. And I'm going to tell you a little story that happened. We started Christian Challenge in 1976. We had actually had two Christian Challenges. We started the second one. We had one here. We had one in Natchitoches. We lived in Natchitoches. We had one in Boyce. We had one in Natchitoches. And we lived in Natchitoches for a while. Shanna had a cat named Happy. The only cat we ever had. I love cats. I love all kinds of animals, but I especially love dogs. She had a cat named Happy. So I'm down at the office one day, and Betty called me and said, "Honey, you need to come home. A car had run over Happy, and she's dead, and you need to bury Happy, get rid of Happy before the kids come in from school." So I rushed home, and there he did. There's Happy. He's flatter than a pancake. I mean, he is dead. And I pick Happy up, I bring him to the garage, I lay him on the hood of the car, and Betty says, what are you going to do? I'm going to pray for this cat, ask God to resurrect that cat. She said, I was a great man of faith and power. And she said, that cat is dead, go bury that cat. I said, woman, get in the house. Now, I learned something you don't do. You don't say, woman, get in the house. Don't be calling your wife woman. Anyway, the great man of faith that I was, I didn't want her to interfere with my faith. So she goes in the house. I bow my head and I start praying. Dear God, send your power. Bring resurrection. Meow. I look down. This cat's still dead. And here comes Happy around the car. See, this cat wasn't happy. That cat was happy. And so what I did was I picked up Happy and I walked in the house. I said, honey, look. Now, my wife's big blue eyes got about as big as they could get. Tears started coming through her face because she knew right then I was a man of faith and power. But I saw I was fixing to lose it. I said, no, baby. This cat's happy. The other cat's not happy. And so I lost all my faith for the other cat, and I went out and buried the other cat. But my point is this. Learn to laugh at yourself. Laugh at your fumbles in life. You know, God laughs with you. You don't offend God by laughing. You need to learn to laugh. So that was the story of the bumble with it. Now, I know a lot of stories on you guys, but my wife already told me, don't be telling stories about these people. You might offend somebody. But I did get permission to tell one. And I'll save it for last, Brother Gary. So anyway, you learn. You learn the faith walk. You learn to walk with God. You learn to be happy. You learn to rejoice. You learn to laugh at yourself. Dear God, laugh at yourself. Now, let me come to the second area because I don't want to drag this out. I'm talking about smiling at the future. Back in the 60s, when I was a young preacher, my wife and I both worked at Fort Polk. And I was a preacher sprout, learning how to preach, I guess, more than anything else. But when I came to the Lord, my wife had a tremendous influence over me. I saw in her godliness. I saw in her a woman that dedicated to the Lord, loved the Lord deeply. At my desk at Fort Polk, I had a sign, a handmade sign that I had made. And the sign says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, that was how much I admired my wife. Well, that's King James Version. Now, that comes from the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, and that is how to find a wife. Now, look for somebody who smiles a lot. Brothers, if you're looking for a wife, look for somebody who smiles and somebody who laughs. Because that's what and then in the Proverbs 31 woman, there's a statement made about her that I thought was very interesting. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. She has dignity for her clothing. She smiles. And so what I found out was that I married laughter. I got to tell something about Betty. I married a woman that can pull some jokes on you, and she did it to me. Back during that time, it was at the time when President Kennedy was assassinated. I was working for the police department in Grand Junction, Colorado. We hadn't been married a long time. And my wife loved me. She knew back then I loved pudding. I loved butterscotch pudding. I loved chocolate pudding. So every night what she would do, she'd make me a bowl of the pudding. I'd come in late at night and she'd put it right in front of the refrigerator where I could have it. And it was always a delightful thing to do. Well, one night I come in and I reach in to get that bowl of pudding. And I put a big spoon in it and I find out it is beef gravy. She set me up. Now, the way our little apartment, we had one of these little efficiency apartments, she had her bed fixed where she could look at a mirror and see me, and I hear cackling. She's laughing at me. And so, but the thing is, our home has always had a lot of laughter in it. In fact, you're not going to be around these Martin boys very much. They're going to get you to laughing. They're not going to let you get by with being solemn around. They're going to pick at you. But they learned that from their daddy, and they learned that from our home. And listen, mamas and daddies, if all your children ever see in the home, and I don't think that's true here, is fussing and fighting and bickering and biting, what do they know about marriage? They need to know that marriage can be fun and is full of laughter and it has a lot of joy. And that's what I found out. She was the first one that ever pulled a joke on me. And I began to find out that I had married laughter. Betty used to have to run us out of the kitchen. I'd be wrestling with the boys all the time. But I'm going to tell you another one that I think is really funny. This is after we had started Christian Challenge. We lived over in What's the name of that place you live, Gary?
Village Green.
Village Green. We're living in Village Green. Okay. We're in that in our house in Village Green. And so the way our bathroom was, you could take a shower. I had a bathtub with the enclosure that came across the bathtub, and then the sink and everything was over here. So I'm in here taking a shower, and Betty's over here at the sink fixing her hair, getting pretty. She's already beautiful. She's just, you know, a little extra. So while I'm taking a shower, washing my hair, I throw some water over on her. I see her looking at me, and I just keep right on washing my hair like it was an accident. So I do it again, and she looks at me again. I do it again, she looks at me again. And after a while, she leaves. Well, I didn't know what she's fixing to do. She goes in the kitchen, gets her a big glass of ice water. And she walks in where I am, and she pours that glass of ice water. Now, folks, listen, don't let your imagination get wild with you. She pours that ice water, then she takes off running. I jump out of there, and I chase her down the hall trying to catch her. Let nothing be in your mind. Don't see any kind of a picture here. So anyway, I got her back, and she apologized. So so I went back in there, and I was shaving, getting ready. She was already ready. I was in front of the vantage there, getting vain. And I was shaving. My wife apologized and said, "Darling, I love you," and she brought me a nice big cup of coffee. Here's your coffee. She used to make me coffee a lot. And so I said, "Thank you, darling." And I took a big swig of that coffee. It was full of hot sauce. Hot sauce. There she goes, and there I go again. I am telling you. The thing is, though, you have to learn to laugh, and your kids need to see you laughing. Children need to see you having fun, and they need to see joy in your house and joy in your life. Our children were never, ever disrespectful. We taught them never to be disrespectful. We taught them to laugh and to love and to touch. We had always had a peaceful home. Now, our voices were never raised in our home in anger, but in laughter, you heard laughter a lot in the Martin home. There's a deeper truth here, though. It said she can smile at the future. The reason you can smile at the future is because you know what the future holds. You see, you met Mr. Wonderful. And girls, Mr. Wonderful, not this tall, dark, handsome guy with wavy hair and built strong, handsome like me. But Mr. Wonderful, his name is Jesus. And Jesus said he was the life. And when you meet Jesus, you meet the life. You have the life. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And when you meet Jesus, you have the life, and you know something of the future. You know what's going to happen. You know that everything is secure, and that you can rejoice in him day by day by day. And I want to make a point real quickly. There's one thing that Satan hates, I think probably as much or more than anything else. He hates the laughter of faith. He doesn't like anybody laughing in his face. He wants to keep you intimidated, keep you fearful, keep you worried about the future. God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to do everything in the world he can to keep you despondent. But when the child of God begins to enjoy that life that's in Jesus, and you begin to laugh at Satan, and you're able to say to Satan, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This is my heritage. And Satan, I know where you're going, and I know where I'm going." You see, when you laugh at Satan, he hates you, because laughter is the language of faith. It is the natural language of faith. Praise is the natural language of faith. Rejoicing is the natural language of faith. And remember that. Ask God to fill your mouth with laughter that you can laugh at life and laugh at Satan. If you remember, let me give you a scripture real quick. If you go to Psalm chapter number 2, because you need to learn to laugh at what God laughs at. Psalm chapter 2. The early church quoted from this psalm. If you recall, the apostles had been brought up before the council. They had been forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus. And when they gathered back together with the company of believers and they began to pray, what they prayed was from this psalm. But they didn't pray all of the psalm. I just want you to see a little bit more of it if you'll just follow with me. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us tear their feathers apart and cast their cords from us.'" Now, that part was quoted by the early Christians when they gathered together after they came under persecution, and they began to praise God. Well, they praise him with the Psalms. And then they asked the Lord to do awesome things. Well, he began to do awesome things. But what they didn't pray was this part. Verse 4 said, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his fury and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I want you to see what God says. He laughs. Devil, you can do everything. You can throw your best. You can do everything you want to do. But your end is sure. Your judgment is coming. God's people will be vindicated. I will bless them. I will keep my promises. I will keep my word. And I want them to learn to laugh with me and laugh at you. How many folks went to see the Passion? Do you remember that one scene where memory, Jesus is going back into his memory at the house with his mama and they're working with the table? I believe, see, that may not be biblical, but I believe that's a truer picture of Jesus. He probably laughed with his mother. He probably had jokes with his mother. He probably did wonderful things with his brothers. I think he had laughter in his soul. I believe he was full of laughter. If I didn't believe that, then why would he tell us, my joy I give to you? My joy I'm going to leave with you. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my joy. I want you to laugh. I want you to enjoy life. Can you say amen? So we have this wonderful thing about God laughing and God's coughing. Now, let me bring you to my last area. I know nobody's hungry today, but kind of a little bit of a sober area. When we started Christian Challenge in 1976, March of 1976, we had no money, we had no support, we had nobody to back us, we had no congregation. I had my wife and my three children, my Bible and my guitar, and I had a stewardship from Jesus Christ. That's all I had. And I was gullible enough to believe that what he said to me he would fulfill. We rented a little house in Boy, $75 a month. When it rained in one room. One room leaked real bad. One night I'm laying in bed and the greatest fear came on me. I brought my wife and my children. How am I going to take care of my family? And these fears began to rise in my mind, in my thinking. And God got me out here just to expose me and make me a laughingstock to his people. And as, as these fears began to come upon my mind, I felt in my spirit to get up that God wanted to talk to me. And I went in the kitchen, sat down, and I opened my Bible. And it's strange how your Bible will open it exactly where you need it to be. I opened up the book of Psalms. And God began to speak to my spirit. He said to me, I'm giving you my words, the impressions of my heart. He said, I wrote that book for a reason. That book will teach you how to think. That book will teach you how to believe. It'll teach you what to believe. It'll teach you how to praise. It'll teach you how to pray. It'll teach you, it'll put things in your mouth that need to be in your mouth. It'll put things in your heart that need to be in your heart. And if God was beginning to speak to me, guess what happened to all the fear? A big smile started coming up, and I realized that God was reinforcing what he was doing in my life. That we were going to make it, that he was going to bless us. Now, if I took time to just talk to you about the blessings, we talk about miracles. Only a miracle to us, not a miracle to God, folks. I mean, this is the way he works all the time. He supplied, he blessed us, he moved in our life phenomenally all over these 28 years. We've never had anything. We've never had extra money in the bank. We don't to this day, folks. And God kept us and God blessed us, but he taught us how to talk. And he taught us what to believe. And he taught us what to say. And he taught us how to love. And he taught us how to not be religious. God, help us get us out of religion, the mode of religion. See, religious thinking people, this is my club, this is us, this is all of us. But God wants us to start thinking new covenant and new creation and God's great family and all the earth. So you can love your brother and your sister no matter where they're associated, wherever they attend their respective flock. You can love them and care about them and enjoy them and laugh with them. And you know what's happening today? God's doing things that we could never do. We've never been able to create a unity. God never told us to create a unity. He told us to keep the unity that he had given us. And I see all across this land, Christians coming together in an awesome way. You had mentioned Brother Gene, Larry Gene. We've been doing this now since 1988. Larry it wasn't here back then, but a little handful of pastors began to meet together at McDonald's. And Brother Clarence Ray came for a while with us. When he came, he'd probably come if he could. But we began to see that we had Baptists, we had Pentecostals, we had Methodists, we had Wesleyan, we had, you name them, Methodists, Brother Art Baker, I saw you here somewhere. Brother Art's one of the first members there. And what we began to find out is that we love the same Jesus. And we rejoice over the same Jesus. And He's Art's Lord just like He's my Lord. There's not echelons of Christian folk. God only has one kind of a child, and that's His true born, blood bought child of God. And so we saw God doing things that we could never do. We began to put these things together, and we've enjoyed that ever since. My point is that God is doing that today. He's putting laughter in us. He's putting unity in us. He's putting joy in us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And He wants us to learn to laugh at what He laughs at. Let me see if I can bring it to to a close. Is there no place for sorrow? Yeah, there is. You're going to have plenty of that in your life. But God promises that weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. God says, your sorrow is not going to last. I'm going to bring joy into your life. Now, Paul knew what he was saying when he says, and you, brethren, like Isaac, you are children of promise. That is, you're children of laughter. You're going to have points of sorrow. Yes, we buried a son, and we had great sorrow as we stood beside his grave. But see, I know where my David is. We know where our David Lynn is. And we know that we're going to him one day. But we wake up in the morning now, we have a joy in our heart because we have a future. Do we have sorrow? Yes, we've had lots of trials. But the weeping is for the night. But a shout of joy comes in the morning. I want you to learn to laugh, folks. I'm going to tell you like Brother Larry Jean does. He almost does it every Thursday morning before he leaves. He says, giggle a lot. Now, that's a profound statement, folks. You know, one brother said that his college professor taught him in seminary, I believe it was, that the more you laugh, the less you have to pray. Why? Because you're in faith already. You're not trying to get into faith. You're already in faith. So you learn to laugh a lot. Joy is your portion. Now, I share this by permission. And I was warned. Well, let me share two things real quick, and I'm going to close. Early at Christian Challenge in Boys, you'd have to... Brother James and Sister Batch are the only family that was with us in Boys toward the end. So they're the old-timers, so I want to honor them. They've been with us a long time, brother. We love you. But before they came, first few months, I'm in the old storefront building that we had to replace the beams and put together with baling wire and bubble gum, I guess. I'm in there praying one day, and, you know, I was going to preach that night, and Lord, I need you to send the people. Yeah, it'd be nice to have somebody to preach to. And all of a sudden, I hear the car, zoom, zoom, zoom. I look out the window, and they're filling up the whole front of that building. And I said, oh, boy, I'm going to have somebody preach to you tonight. Hallelujah. But they don't ever come in. So I wait, and they don't come in. I walk out on the front, and I look, and there's a basketball game going down to school about a block down the road from us. And I swear, I don't swear, but I believe I heard the Holy Spirit laugh in me again. You see, He teaches us to laugh. Now, I'm not being risky with this, folks. I just have to tell you. Smile with me a little bit. This is my final. When we were building this building here, and Brother James was overseeing, really, if we hadn't had Brother James, I don't know how we'd put this thing together, but thank God, God raised Brother James up. We all worked together. It was an awesome thing. Every time we came, and we worked during the week, work on Saturday, all the men would work, the women would fix lunch for us. And we never had a problem. It was always joy. We would pray, we would laugh together. And I'm going to pick at you, folks. I mean, that's just who I am. If I don't pick at you because I don't know you, if I know you a little bit, I'm going to pick at you. I just have to do it. I just have to do it. So we're all gathered around front one day, and Gary Fisher there, and Alan Stroud are sitting there. And I walk by him, and I say, you boys need to start wearing a bra. So I walk on by. Pardon me. I don't mean to. Don't be embarrassed, folks. Listen. I was picking at him. So I'm back over here where that two doors are, and I'm working, doing some work there. I forgot what I'm doing, sheetrock, I think. And Brother Gary and Brother Allen walk by, and they flash me. And they run off giggling and laughing and snorting. That was the funniest thing, folks. I'm just saying, don't be afraid to laugh, folks. It's all right to be silly a little bit. I mean, it's all right to have fun. I realize you have to draw lines, but we've had a lot of joy in our experience. I was 35 when we started Christian Challenge. I'll be 64 this year. And I was in the ministry several years, pastored before that, evangelized full time. But this experience of this ministry has been joy, almost constant joy to me. I wake up every morning. My wife can tell you, she hears me in the shower, I'm singing. I am so glad God raised up this ministry. It's the stewardship of God. It's not me. It's what God can do. We're not a big group, folks, but we are a happy people, and we have a lot of love to share. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so God says, and you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, you're children of promise. Put some laughter in your mouth. Laugh. Have a good time. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Nathan. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to turn it back to Nathan because I think we have some special singing. I want you to stand with me just for a moment while Nathan's coming. And I want you to do what I do. Can everybody see me? Will you just do what I do? I'm going to start where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Glory to God. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I bless you, King. Thank you, Father. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.